Call Effie, Tom Patel. We're going to finish. Bli Nedar. Okay, we're at Perek Vav Mishnah. Hey.
Hey.
Thank you. That was better than last time. It's the first time, but still a little weak. Da-da-da-da-da.
Hey.
You guys deserve to be better. They're not speaking at all. Mordechai, you're going to leave soon to go to a different time zone. It's telling me, I'm getting warnings on my screen that your bandwidth is going to send you somewhere else. Al tevakesh gedula le'atzmecha. Mishnah Hey, Perek Vav. Al tevakesh gedula le'atzmecha. Don't seek greatness for yourself. Li'al tachmod kavod. And don't run after, don't desire honor. Obviously, this is if you're for achievements in life and also in your Torah learning. Because you learn so much Torah, don't seek greatness or don't crave honor. Yoter milumudecha asei. And let your ma'asim Let your actions be greater than your learning. Again, the theme we've seen in many Mishnahs is the importance of actions. That's actually one of the reasons I was late is because I had to finish hanging laundry outside. My wife asked me to do that. And derech eretz kadma la Torah. So I came a few minutes late. It didn't really matter because we all came a few minutes late. But that's an example of derech eretz kadma la Torah. And I can talk about being a nice person and talk to you guys about, I can give a whole shiur about shalom bayis and helping your wife and helping people out and doing chesed and mitzvos and kindness, etc., etc. That's very nice. But if I don't help my wife out, so what does that say? As opposed to I'm able to help out, and that's what I was doing. So the ma'aseh is the ikar. It's not just me talking about all these things, but it's like, okay, Eliyahu, let's see you actually put your mouth where your money is and actually do that. And don't desire the king's table, because your table is greater than theirs, and your crown is greater than their crown. And the employer is trustworthy, that he's going to pay you properly for the work you've done for him. So obviously this last part is all about a mashal. That yes, a king has a great palace and he has a great banquet table and yes, he has a great crown. But our crown is the crown of Torah, right? Keser Torah, it's a crown, it's a kingship. A lot of people have the minhag to do lots of things with crowns on Shavuos. Some people make challahs in the shape of crowns. Some people make Torahs, challahs in the shape of Torahs. But the crown represents this is Malchus. The Torah is Malchus. And the idea is that our crown, the crown of Yiddishkeit, of the Torah, is greater than even the Queen of England's crown. Or as great as the whatever. I don't know who else wears a crown, Bisman is that. But 100 years ago, they still wore crowns. The idea of a crown represents greatness. So however great, whatever the greatest king in the world is, our crown of Torah is even greater than that. And our table means, our table is where we get our sustenance from. It's how how meaningful our life is, what's on the table, right? It represents having, richness. A table represents a person's livelihood. So however great and lavish a king's table is, which it's pretty lavish, so our table from being osik in Torah and mitzvos is even more lavish than that. Again, it's not just on a spiritual term. It's on a physical term, in terms of how much food can we put on the table. It's in terms of what represents true wealth. And again, that's a Torah. And that's also, we said, happiness. We touched upon this yesterday a little bit. And that's the falafel guy in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Falafelnaki. You should be blessed. He had nothing, and he was the happiest guy. And you'd be happier than probably kings are. Just because you have wealth, let me just burst this bubble. I know I've said it before. Just because you have wealth does not mean you're happy. Usually people who have a lot of wealth are actually less happy, and they have issues with depression and anxiety and substance abuse and the like. because they're not happy. They don't think about what they have. They always want more, everything they don't have. And we said the true wealthy person is someone who's happy with his lot. So this is our lot, is we have the Torah, and it's greater than all these other things. One of the a great example of this to show how our keser is bigger than greater than their keser is that one time, I think it was Rabbi Lau. I think it's the story of the chief Rabbi Lau, Rav Meir Lau Shlita, maybe Rav Avadia. I remember he met with he was sent to England to meet with the queen amongst a lot of other dignitaries, and the queen stuck out her hand to shake his hand. And he obviously did not stick out his hand to shake her hand back, being that he's a man and she's a woman, and he's a God-fearing Jew. And it was like shockwaves around the world. He like just defied the queen's order, like, you know, shake the hand. It wasn't even like an order, like I'm gonna throw it. It was like, that's like chutzpah gedola. Anyone imagine if the queen sticks out their hand and then like the person doesn't stick their hand out back? It's terrible. But the whole world was up in uproar. This rabbi is so disrespectful and everything, blah, blah, blah. And then finally it came out from, I don't know where, but there's like an actual law that for religious reasons, if you have religious reasons not to shake the queen's hand, so you do not have to. And therefore, he wasn't rebelling against the kingship of the queen of England and the monarchy and that. But what he did was totally kosher and yasher, and everything was according to the book. He probably knew that before. Leave it to him being a big Talmid Chacham that he knew that. I don't know if he knew that, but he knew this is the Ratzon of Hashem, so I'm going to do it, and it's not. I'm not going to get posh from it. It's not going to be good. And it just shows that his keser of Torah, following the halacha, was greater than hers. And the Queen of England is like, I don't know, she's probably the only queen that exists in the world. Is there any other queens out there other than in my card deck?
Not that I know of.
We need to call Isaac Selig and Robert Goodman, find out. And Sam Kirshner. Okay, that's your homework, to find out if there are any other queens. I think there's like kings in Saudi Arabia or something, whatever that means. But like, I think the Queen of England is like the royal family, the royal British family is like the last remnant of like, you know, the books I read when I was a kid, or whatever that means. But his keser of Torah was greater than hers, that he did not shake her hand. And that just goes to show you that we should be happy and proud to wear our crown. And be happy and proud to accept this crown on Shavuos Yemetz Hashem. Mishnah Vav. Vav. Gedola Torah Yosef min Kohanu min HaMalchus. Torah is greater than Kohuna, like Kohan and priesthood, or Malchus, or royalty, as we just saw from that story with Rabbi Lau. Shamalchus nicknes b'shloshim malos, because royalty is acquired with 30 like prerogatives, 30 levels and standings. V'akunin nicknes b'esrim b'arba, and Kohuna is acquired with 24 things. V'atorah nicknes b'arba mushmana dvarim, and we acquire Torah with 48 things. Okay, so again, we're not going to go into detail because we don't have time. I want to try to finish everything before Yontif. But you can look in your local commentaries to find out what were these 30 things, 24 things. But the 48 things we're going to go into. Everyone ready? Okay, so this is like why one of the reasons that Perek Vav, the sixth Perek of Perek Yavos, has the name of Kinyan Torah. Because it's like this is like the central Mishnah. And it's like a massive of 48 ways to acquire Torah. So this is a lot of times it's called Parakinyan Torah because of this list that's in here. So 48 ways. I'll dabble in a little bit on some of them. And some of them are, again, times are short. Maybe, I don't know, we'll see what's happening next week. Maybe we'll have Shira and we can go back a little bit to go over these things. But I can't commit to that at this point. So these are them. Elohim, B'Talmud. Through first one is learning. You're not going to acquire Torah without learning it, correct? How do you become a good accountant? How do you become a doctor? You go to med school and you learn about it. So how do you become a, you know, Talmud Chacham? How do you acquire Torah? So first, you learn. B'shmias ozen, through listening well. Okay, again, if you're not paying attention, so then you're not going to get it. Again, these are also important. This is the way we acquire Torah. Also, some of these things we can be applied to life also. is also, if you want to do well in school, first you have to study, right? We said with the example, the doctor skips over that that part about the heart, and then he ends up killing the patient. So you can't skip over these things. You have to learn, you have to study everything, every chapter of the textbook, and you have to listen to what the professors say. You have to listen to what the other people say. Okay, barichat sifatayim, which means the opposite of what I'm doing, is you should speak it out. Erech means like a value. It's like, here, intuitive understanding, whatever that means. No, sorry, articulate speech. I mean, you have to be able to speak things out and talk. Bevinas alev, with understanding the heart. Besichlas alev, with discernment of the heart. Be'ema, with fear. Be'ema is trembling. Be'ira is fear. Ba'anava, with humility. Besimcha, with happiness. Betahara, with purity. Okay, so these things you don't really need for medicine. So why do you need them for understanding Torah? Because, first of all, it's interesting that we say Bevinas Halev, which this R scroll just translated as intuitive understanding. But why is it Halev doesn't mean, Halev represents something different? Is that we're commanded, as we say in Shema, Vayu Adrim Ha'ila Asher Anochi Mitzavacha Hayom, Al, Levavecha. Thank you. Sorry, you're a little frozen. Sweet. Alevavecha, on your heart. So I understand, why is it on Alevavecha? It should be like in our head. Why is it on Alevavecha? And not only that, we say in Olenu, Vashevota Alevavecha. We should return it to our heart. So what is this all? What are these all talking about? So the idea is that what does the heart represent? The heart represents the heart of a person. No pun intended. It represents the heart of a human being. That's like the life source. And again, the Torah isn't about just becoming an intellectual thing that you get up here. The Torah has to be something that goes on the heart, gets infused into the heart, and permeates a person's body. Just like the heart is the life source for the body, and it's spreading and pumping the blood to all the limbs and extremities, and it is the life, literally, of the body. So too, the Torah has to infuse, has to go into our heart, and from there, go out and infuse all of our the entirety of the person with that Torah. And the mashal they give is like, the Midrash gives is like you go into a perfume store. Even if you don't buy perfume and spray it on you, so when you walk out of there, you're going to still smell like perfume. And the idea is that Torah is like that also. It's like mevasim. It's like a perfume. And it has to exude from our body that you can like see it. Ah, that's a Jew. That's how a Jew behaves. And a lot of times, Baruch Hashem, we're able to see that. You're able to see, ah, obviously that guy's Jewish. You know, it's like the story of the guy who's he's broken down on the side of the road. And he's waiting there and with a kippah on. And then the guy stops and he's like, oh, thank you so much for stopping. He helps him. And then when, like, he's done helping him, the Jewish guy's done helping the guy who's broken down, the guy takes off his kippah, like, folds it up, and, you know, puts it in, it goes into his car and throws it in his glove compartment. The guy, the Jewish guy seen is like, excuse me, like, what's going on here? Like, can you explain this to me? He's like, yeah, I'm not Jewish, really. He's like, you're not? He's like, why are you wearing a kippah? He's like, because my mom told me, like, to put that in your glove compartment in case you're ever broken down or you're stuck somewhere, so just put it on, stand outside your car, and someone will see it. And it's like a sign saying that I'm going to help you because you're another Yid. So that's like how a Jew responds. You know, they see another person, and there are stories, I've heard many, many stories of this, where a Jew's there to help, because the idea of the Torah is not just like intellectually we should do chesed and all these things, but it has to imbue ourselves in our bodies. And act in that way. So that's why it says understanding the heart. It's not just to understand in the mind. It has to be in the heart. It has to permeate the heart and permeate our being. That's why we all want to live a Torah. Okay, I have to bring that up again, always. You guys are just all frozen in time. My bandwidth is low. Oh, yeah. Anyone there? Wave your hand if you can hear me. Anyone there? Can you hear me? Hello, wave your hand. Anyone? 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 Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Can anyone hear me?
We're always in our hand.
What?
We're all waving our hands.
Okay. You guys are all frozen still, but you can hear me, right, Nathan? Oh, man, this is so, can you hear me? Thumbs up? Bunch of them.
Yes.
I'm going to try to move closer to the router.
It just cut out for you.
I'm wearing shorts. Don't worry.
I'm watching inside of a closet. How's this? Yes, you can hear me? Anyone?
Frozen. I
just
hear you now.
Gotcha. Should I call in? You know the shtick they do? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
That's better now.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
You're frozen. Okay. Thank you. Sorry for that interruption. This is not one of the ways you acquire Torah is by having shir on Zoom. That is not going to be listed in this Mishnah. Sorry to spoil the ending. One of the 48 ways is not by having frustrating low bandwidth on Zoom. Okay? Great. Okay, you also need fear and you need awe. And again, to realize that, can you hear me?
You're frozen.
I'm frozen. Or can you hear me?
No, it's fine for me.
It's a little choppy.
Sweet, you can
now hear me. I can't.
Yeah, perfectly.
Ay, ay, ay. Okay. You need fear and trepidation.
Wait, I think it's good now.
Okay, good. Fear and trepidation will lead to humility. You have to have joy. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, I'm good. Mitara with purity. Again, if you learn with purity, so then the Torah is going to, if you're pure, think of it this way. If you're trying to write things down on a crumpled up old piece of paper with lots of other notes and tears and ticks in it, so it's not, the notes, you're not going to really be able to read it. You're not going to remember it well. It's going to be unclear what's there. But if everything's a pure piece of white paper, everything's recorded on, so then you'll be able to look back and study that. And that's why we need purity of our soul. In order for our soul to absorb more, so we need purity. Ushimosh chachamim, and by servicing the chachamim, the sages, that means by being mishamish them, literally means to care for their needs. And how does caring for their needs acquire your Torah? Because you see how a Torah scholar acts, you see how a Torah scholar lives, you see how the Torah is a living, that person is a living embodiment of the Torah. And again, you can probably learn a lot more from going to Rebbe's house and interacting with the Rebbe, seeing how he interacts with other people and listening to his shir of his. I can remember any time I was ever mishamish a Rav, whether I was driving him somewhere where I was helping with something. So I learned a lot more from him than probably from all of the shirim I've heard from him. And those things are stick out strongly, very strongly in my memory. There's one strong one which was like just like mind-boggling to me. There's one time when I was in the Heights. So if you remember the Heights, there are two sides of the Heights. There's the YU side and then there's the other side where like the Jewish community in the Heights is. And on that other side there's a grocery store which has a lot of kosher products. So one time Reb Goldwich was walking back. He went to shopping there, the Chabad Shabbos. And Mamas had like a lot of bags he was carrying. And I saw him and I asked him, and he was like walking up a hill and he was like, he speeds. He's like a speed walker. I don't know if you guys know Reb Goldwich.
from IU, Rosh Hashiva. All right, so you got to know him. So I asked him, can I help you? Can I help you? It was like clearly very heavy, and it was a big, like it was a lot of bags. And he just smiled at me. And he has the biggest smile. You guys might know. He looks like the guy in the Pringles can. But his smile like just burst, is radiating love and light and warmth. He smiled at me. He's like, Mapitom, ze kavod Shabbat Shali. This is my kavod Shabbos. I'm being mechavet Shabbos. You can't take that mitzvah away from me. And he just like kept on, just, like sped past me, you know. But made a big impact on me of doing something in honor of Shabbos yourself and seeing how much joy he had doing the mitzvah. Even though he was like schlepping, it was a lot of stuff. And just seeing that made a big impact on me that this is my kavod Shabbos. And this is my mitzvah, and I want to do it. And he had such happiness doing it. So that's one mitzvah. I had other mitzvahs. I was zocheh to be in Camp Masor with him one summer. Unbelievable. It was the highlight of the year. It was just being around him a lot and just seeing how he thinks and speaks and behaves and acts. Unbelievable. So that you really learn through example. B'dikduk chaverim, b'pilpulot tamidim, by, you know, being close with friends and by talking back and forth between chaverim, again, to have a group, a community that's all, you know, striving to the same thing. I need a little light, sorry. Imagine if you went to yeshiva and you're the only guy in yeshiva. So how's that compared to having a yeshiva full of friends, other people, right? It's like Zoom versus like pre-Zoom era of yeshiva. You can't compare. The yeshiva by sitting and learning, the mikra, by knowledge of mikra, which is Torah, Mishnah of Mios Schora, and limiting our business. Again, if you're going to be working nonstop, you're not going to have time to learn the Torah. Mios Derech Eretz, and also what's the difference between Schora and Derech Eretz? Dealing with worldly matters, you have to take care of your bills and other things. If you get so caught up with all your apps and this and that, so it's going to be hard. Again, these are things which draw you away. Mios Tanuk, and through limiting your pleasures and your sleep and having and your talking and your laughter, again, all these things are things which will distract you and take up your time. That's one way to understand. Another way to understand it is b'miut sicha. It's by talking a little bit. When you go down to sit to a chavrusa, this is my Rebbe Reb Simon said, Shlita. He's like, before you start learning, just like talk for a little bit. See, how you doing? How's your Shabbos? How's everything? Are you okay? And then start learning. That's how, by connecting to the other person, having a relationship, so you're going to learn better. So, b'miut sicha doesn't only mean by minimizing your amount of talk because it takes away from your learning, but by actually talk a little bit, schmooze a little bit. If everyone would acknowledge that, like, you're not going to go to, let's say you have an hour of time to learn Seder in the Beis Medrash. So, has anyone ever learned an hour straight without talking to anyone? Exactly, you're going to talk. But let's say if you went down and said, you know, before we start learning, let's just schmooze for like 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll learn. So chances are you're going to do a lot more learning that way. It's like people, this happens on Shavuos night, is like most of this, probably the one year it's not going to happen. It's like in the typical, like, the base medrash, like if you guys were in the Shavuos, half the night, you'll just be talking about how you're going to plan to stay up and stay awake and how tired you are. And the other half of the night, you're going to be like getting food and drink to like help you fulfill that goal of staying up. Now, oh, I really need a coffee. I'm falling asleep. I need a coffee. I need a soda. I need a brush of fresh air. And the amount of actual learning you do on Shavuos night accumulates to about like 25 minutes maybe for like a good guy in yeshiva. The whole time, he's just like, you know, making all these plans. This year might be hopeful that people are going to actually be able to learn, because you don't have to worry about, you know, you're not talking to this person, how are you going to stay up? It's better to just say, I'm going to learn for an hour now and then go to sleep, and I'm going to learn the next day also. It's a radical idea. I try to do that. I try to stay up later learning, and then I try to take a nap for like 3 or 4 hours. This way I can wake up, daven, and like be awake and not be sleeping through davening. And this way during the day, first of all, I'm around for my family. Second of all, I can have time in the afternoon. I'll take a little nap in the morning. And I'll have time in the afternoon to learn more. So what happens? You spend the whole night of Shavuos trying to figure out how you're going to stay up and how you're going to learn, and you're too tired to this, let me get a different sefer and that sefer and that, because this one, and then you fall asleep during davening, and then you eat cheesecake, and then you have the suda, and then you just fall asleep for the whole yontif. It's like, here, I gave you this present, this great present, and what do? You go to sleep. Shem's giving us this present. And what we do is just like, we like, well, how are we going to use it? How are we going to play with it? And like, so you have to be honest with yourself and real with yourself. It's going to kill your davening. It's going to kill your whole yontif. So then stay up a little later learning. Say, I'm going to learn for an hour extra or something. Go to sleep at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever it is. Get a good night's sleep. And then, okay, this isn't the Minhag Yisrael. I recognize that. Minhag Yisrael is to stay up all night learning. But if you're going to do the Minhag Yisrael, that means to stay up all night learning, not to stay up all night just to. I remember as a kid, like, you know, like, just like going to shul and like, I didn't learn. I was just like, it was like a fun, like, chavaya to stay up all night and wait on the side of the road until the milk truck drove by at like 3 o'clock in the morning. That was like the highlight of my shul, to see the milk truck driving by when there's no cars and like this big main, you know. So that, then how many times you can walk back and forth before, like, that's Shavuos night. Yes, it made an impact. Shavuos night, you stay up all night. But, like, stay up all night learning. Not talking about how you're going to stay up all night, but stay up actually all night learning. Okay, there's a plug to try to maximize time actually learning. And again, a plug to prepare in advance. There's so many things that you can do that organizations are putting out for pre-prepared learning materials for Shavuos. Find something that speaks to you, that you enjoy, and print it out now, today, not like tomorrow and forget about it 5 minutes after Yom Tov starts. Okay, so either by limiting these things or by engaging them in a little bit is a healthy and a balanced way to approach life. By having some laughter, by having some talking with your friends, by sleeping a little bit, take a little nap, you're tired, put your head down, and then get up. The Erech HaPayim, that you don't become angered easily, Belev Tov, having a good heart, the Emunas Chachamim, by believing in the Chachamim, you can't learn the Torah if you don't believe in what you're learning, but Kabbalah Zayisurin, by accepting this suffering, Amakir Es Mekomo, you recognize your place in this world, Vasameach V'chelko, and you're happy with your portion. If you're not happy, how are you going to sit down and learn if you're like not happy and you're just worrying how I'm going to pay the bills and how I'm going to take care of this and how am I going to have buy food if I don't have money? You have to be happy. If you're not happy, so nothing's going to go well. And you make a fence around your personal things. And you don't take all the credit for yourself. You're humble. You're loved by other people. You love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You love other people. You love righteousness. You love justice in the right way. You love getting rebuke. Reproof, meaning if you're not learning right, if you're a bad doctor, imagine if you're learning in med school. Sorry for always hitting on med school today. Imagine if you're learning med school and you're doing, you have your residency and like you totally mess something up. Imagine if like you're attending whatever, the guy who oversees you, he doesn't say anything to you or you don't like what he told you and you're like, ah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're just going to keep on messing up. You have to be able to accept it. Again, we said the study from Harvard Business School, I believe it was from Harvard Business School, the difference between the best surgeons and the worst surgeons is the best surgeons, if they mess up, they're like, okay, what did I do wrong? How can I fix it? Who's going to help me figure out, you know, who's going to give me like literally tochacha to tell me like, this is how you messed up and fix it or I missed something or whatever it is. And the worst surgeons are the ones who say blame it on everyone else because they can't take that. You have to be able to take the criticism to help you again. It's constructive criticism because it will help you become better. Yeah, sweet.
Can you please explain Osis Seag Udvarov? Because isn't that kind of contrary to what we said about how a chassid says that his things are someone else's and the other person's things are his own? Like he doesn't.
Right. So what does that mean? I honestly have no idea because I didn't prepare this Mishnah. But give me 1 second. They're different pshatim, but one is that he makes a fence around his let's say his dvarim could mean many things. Dvarim could mean his words, Dvarim can mean his things. So, for example, let's say with his words, he's very careful with what he says. He makes a protective fence, right? That's what we said the teeth are, the lips are, to make a fence that your words don't hurt and damage someone else. That's one thing. Another, and he's very, again, everything is finely weighed what he's going to say, because if you're not protecting what's going to come out of your mouth, so you can hurt someone. And we know people have been very hurt by things which are said. And also with, let's say a person has an ox, has a pet ox or a pet dog, but he doesn't put a fence in his background, and the dog is able to go out and go crazy. So he's going to go and bite someone, the ox is going to go gore someone. Obviously no one has an ox, but let's just talk about the pet, or he has a pet snake or something else that can, or he has a pet, let's say he has a pet goat or something. If a goat just wanders off, he'll eat everyone's like yards up and everything else in sight. Goats eat everything. They'll even eat you if you just sit there quietly enough. No, don't do that. So that's pshat. I don't think it's that he doesn't, he like puts up a fence around this stuff saying like, I'm selfish. Like, don't come to me if you want to borrow anything. It's more that he makes sure his speech, his property stuff will not cause damage to other people. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Welcome. Again, I would advise you to, the shir is not the end all and be all of Pirkei Avos and all of the fortune. Okay, sorry. He distances himself from the cover, and he doesn't stir his heart and his learning, meaning he doesn't become haughty about how much he learned. And what the heck does that mean? He doesn't enjoy giving teaching, meaning giving psak halacha. What does that mean? That he feels very humble and he's afraid to give a psak lest alone he makes the wrong decision. I'll give you a perfect example of this that just happened this past week. Rav Meir Tversky, Wayu Shlita, so he put out a tshuva. He put out a tshuva that everyone needs to basically be extra, extra careful, even if they allow davening and just to be extra. I didn't see the tshuva inside, but basically, in one line, is to be extra, extra careful that we're still dealing with sakonos nefashos, and even if they let things loose in terms of relax all the regulations, we have to be extra, extra careful. So he's never put out a tshuva. I don't know if ever in his life, but this is something he stays away from because he's so afraid to give psak halacha because he's afraid he doesn't know enough. He's afraid. Again, this isn't false humility. This is like, if I was saying it, so then it would be like a joke. But he's saying because he actually mamish believes that he doesn't know. He's afraid that he's going to give the wrong advice. He gives advice for other things. When it comes to psak halacha, he's afraid he's not going to give true halachic advice. Again, he's a massive Talmud Chacham. Don't get me wrong here, but that's his humility. So that's why it says, "Veino samech b'ra." He doesn't enjoy giving psak halacha. And that's why he leaves it to other people he feels who are more qualified than he is. So that's an example of "Veino samech b'ra." Nose bolim chavero. He shares his fellow burden. Again, he has to love every Jew. Machvir lekav zchus. And he judges people favorably. Ma'amido al emes. And he sets everything on truth, umamido al shalom and on peace, mityashiv libo b'tamudo, and by learning, so the different ways to translate it. Mityashiv libo b'tamudo, he's very deliberate in his learning. Another pshat is mityashiv libo b'tamudo, through his learning, it calms him down, gives him menuchas nefesh, able to calm a person down, is able to mischazik the person. That's a koach of the Torah. It's like it's therapeutic. Sometimes you're having a tough time. Open up a Sefer Tehillim and pour your heart out into it, and like you feel better afterwards. Or you're having a tough time, just sit down with a piece of Torah and just learn it, and you'll like be engrossed in it, and you'll come out, you'll lift your head, you'll be like breath of fresh air. Show Meshav, he asks questions, and he's asking and answering questions. Again, there's the back and forth. You're not going to learn if you're afraid to ask your Rebbe a question. Shomea Omosif. He hears things, and he listens, and he contributes also, again, the back and forth. He learns in order to teach others. And so on, who's learning in order to do. He makes his teacher wiser. Again, the back and forth, right? The Gemara says that more than I learn from my teachers, I learn from my students. Because the teachers ask good questions, then it's like, sorry, not the teacher asks good questions. The students ask good questions and presses the Rebbe to have answers. And if the Rebbe doesn't know the answer, to find the answer. Right? I didn't really know what it meant that Hosa Siag L'Dvarav means. What does that mean? And then you ask the question to me, and then that forced me to find an answer. And now I thank you. Now I know more than that. And he quotes the source of the person who said it. For we've learned, whoever quotes something, the name of the person who said it, it brings redemption to the world. Because we know the story of Mordechai and Esther, and Megillas Esther, that because she tells the king over in Mordechai's name, so that makes the whole, he gets the whole come in, you get your one wish, and everything, yada, yada, yada. The story of the Jews being saved happens from that. So it's always important to quote the sources that you are quoting. If it's an original idea, you should quote it yourself also. Mishnah Zayin. We have 1 minute to finish the Pirkei Avos. Greatest Torah that it gives life to a person in this world and in the world to come. All psukim that support this. Mishnah Chet. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yoichai, Omer, Hanoi v'akoyach v'osher v'akavod v'chochma v'zikna v'seiv v'abonim na'el sadikim v'na'el olam v'av. Beauty, strength, wealth, honor, wisdom, old age, and wise old age, v'habonim, and children, is beautiful for the tzaddikim and for the world. All these things are good for people, tzaddikim in the world. Shenemar ha'teres tiferes tzeva derech tzedakah tzimatzeh, v'omar teres zekinim b'nei v'onim, v'tiferes banim avoysov. V'omar tiferes b'churim v'kochan v'adar zekinim b'seva, v'omar v'chem v'lvalim v'vosho v'chaman ki malach ha'nei tzivot v'arat ziyon yimshalayim b'negu zekeina v'kabod. Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe Omer, elu shev v'midot shemano chacham v'tzaddikim kulam nizkarim v'rabbi uvanav. Okay, so these seven things, the Noi, the Korach, the Osher, Kavod, the Chachma, the Zikna, the Seva, the Banim, were all things which Rebbe imbued, and also his sons had. Last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Everyone ready for it? Good, wait a little longer because there's one more. Actually, two more. I'm Rebbe Yosef ben Kisma, Pama Chasizim, Alech Baderech. One time I was going the way. I met a person. Benatan li shalom. And he said shalom. And I said hi back to him. Amar li, Rabbi, Mezi Makamata, where are you from? So he said, Amarti lo. I said to him, I'm from your Gedola Shalchamim, so in the great city of Torah scholars. Amar li, Rabbi, Raton Chashaturi, Manu Mokin, Rani, Atel Chai, El Bao, Dino, Zav, Avodim, Dovas, Mergulis. Come live by my city, Rabbi, and I'm going to pay you good. You're going to be rich. Amarti lo. If you give me all the money and all the precious stones and all the jewels and all the diamonds that are in the world, any dar el b'makom Torah, I only live in a place of Torah. Wow. So important for life is to live in a place where there's Torah, because Torah is life. Torah gives vitality to a community. Torah, and because it not only gives a vitality to the community, but it gives vitality to each individual in the community as well. It's the life spring that gives off. It's like the heart gives off. So important to, at least the beginning of your marriage, to be close to yeshiva, close to a place where there's strong Torah learning. It doesn't have to be Lakewood with thousands and thousands of people in the yeshiva. It could just be like have a small kolo in the community, or to have some yeshiva. It's so important. So that gives chizuk to the community, it protects the community, it gives chusim to the community, and it binds the community together. And a person will be connected to that, and that will give him life, and give him chizuk, and give him growth. Very, very important. V'chein katuv b'sefer Tehillim, Ayidei David HaMelech Yisrael, and says in Tehillim, it's David HaMelech's Yortzeit on Shavuos, by the way. Many have the minhag to say all of sefer Tehillim on Shavuos. Highly recommend it if you can do it. but we'll all be sleeping or talking about the sleeping. Stop. Not this Shavuos. This Shavuos we might be able to do. Chen Katuv B'Sefer Tehillim Ayin Dov Nal Yisrael Torah V'Torah Picha Mi Alfei Zav V'Chesed. Torah is greater to me than any money in the world. There's a story. Okay, no time for story. Sorry. A story of a gadol that really represents this. V'lo od ela shebishas p'tiyotos shel adam in melavim lo adam lo kesef lo zav lo avrim dovar shemargelos el torah v'asim torah bilvad. And not only that, it's good to invest in Torah, not only because of what we said, but when a person dies, he doesn't take any of his worldly possessions with him. Even Michael Jackson, who was buried in a golden casket, he doesn't have that with him. He's just buried. His bones are rotting in gold. A waste of money. And everything belongs to Kadosh Baruch in the end of the day. So that's the centrality of the Torah. He's like, if you can pay me so much money, if there's no Torah there, I'm not coming, Rabbi. We have to realize that really Torah is more valuable than money. Obviously, you have to have a balance because, so why don't you sit and learn Torah all day? First of all, you're probably not cut out for that. Second of all, your person has to balance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wants us to be engaged in the world. He also wants us to be earning a parnasa, and that we have to get out and do. But when we're not doing that, we have time. So we set time in the morning and night to learn Torah, so that's what we have to do. And we should realize when we're learning Torah, so this is more, it's better than counting, you know, Benjamin Franklin's all day, or Queen of England's all day, or King Richard V, or whoever's on the Canadian $200 bill. Chamisha King. Kinyanim Kana HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bolamo. Sorry, yeah, I'm glad you don't know either. It's funny, you know, I know who's like on American money, but not on Israeli money. No, it's not funny, I grew up there. Benjamin Franklin. They don't know what's on a 200 shekel bill? No. Everyone just knows what's on a $100 bill. There are five possessions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired for himself in this world. One of them is Torah. Shemayim Va'aretz is another one. Avram Avinu was another one. Yisrael, Am Yisrael is another one. Beis Hamikdash and the Beis Hamikdash. Tar minayin dechte Hashem gana ani reishis dargol gedem mivalav me'ah. Shemayim Va'aretz minayin. Sorry, I'm not expounding these verses in the scriptures for due to a lack of time, but you can look them up. How this supports how Kadosh Baruch Hu acquired these things. Together, everyone read to yourself. Whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, he created for his glory. The idea is that everything that's in this world is ways for us to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's physical things, whether it's spiritual things. All these things are uplifted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's dafka why there's a mitzvah to eat on Shavuos. Very gashmi foods. Because that it represents that with the Torah, we're able to uplift even these most gashmi, saturated, fatted foods. The most low gashmi, the most gashmi food in the world is like cheesecake. And it's like thick cream sauce and whatever else everyone else eats according to their minhag, is caused to show us that the Torah can even take that clump of fat, no good, non-healthy, obviously very delicious. It makes you want to puke afterwards because you just ate so much unhealthiness. Oh, you feel the most magusha, the most physicality that you've ever felt in your life is after eating that cheesecake and all those other things. And then you say, you have that with the Torah. The Torah can be mahapech, that can uplift that, can elevate it, can make that even a mitzvah. It can make that even that low thing into something spiritual. That's your correct, guys. We did it. Everyone should be proud of themselves. Everyone should be happy. Believe another next week if we continue. I'm not sure if I can do Sunday, but maybe another day, just to go in a little more depth. Certain things I'll see. If not, we'll have a final siyum. We're all together. We'll have a siyum together. Everyone will bring food for themselves. They'll bring their favorite mishnah for themselves. We'll have a nice little celebration. Mazel tov. Everyone should be very proud of themselves. Everyone should enjoy. Again, prepare something they want to learn. Enjoy the Torah that we're getting, and we're getting a new, fresh start, fresh beginning, a gift from Hashem, and we should get excited for that. And also, we should get excited for the cheesecake and enjoy the cheesecake and enjoy the time that we have with our family, Bezrat Hashem. And hopefully, you'll come here to Yerushalayim, be all the regal with the end of the Corona, Mashiach, Bezrat Hashem, Meirah v'Minu, Amen. Kol Tov, Chag Sameach. Be well, guys. Shabbat Shalom. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.